that. So contradiction-driven design is an approach based on the definition of design as making sense of things by Klaus Krippendorf. Why design is making sense of things? Because sense-making does not come from the things themselves. It's actually an activity of people looking at things and trying to make sense out of that. And there's always some contradictions once you try to make sense of things. And this dirty mind game is a way of practically experiencing that. It's a pity that you didn't join last week. This was a funny game, right?
Yeah.
However, I just want to recall the why making sense of things is contradictory or comes from contradictions. Because once you try to make sense of a drawing that does not make sense, which is the core of the game, you don't know what it is, but you want to know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an internal contradiction within your motives. You suppose that someone knows, but you don't. And then you try to make sense of that thing based on other things that you have seen before, but it's not exactly the thing that you have seen before. So it's also another contradiction. And you make your own sense, but you're influenced by others how they make sense of the same thing. And then you don't know exactly which one is right, because meaning is not something which is right or wrong. It's just something that you create out of this a contradictory situation. So in conclusion, meaning comes from contradictions, hence it's possible to make again a game out of it. If there were no contradictions in this game, it wouldn't be fun, and there would be no purpose of making a game about this concept. And there are different examples of contradictions applied in design. Most of the times, designers are not aware that they are reproducing contradictions, like in the Rio 2016 Olympic logo, which is completely opposite of what you see on the streets in Rio, right? There's no exuberant nature. Well, there is exuberant nature, but it's also social inequality. However, this is not does not appear in the logo, because that's exactly what the city is all about this contradiction of a beautiful image of Rio, marvelous Rio, Cidade Maravilhosa, and the terrible quality of life for most of the inhabitants. Here there is an example of contradiction applied in architecture as a formal feature. Here you see the work of Robert Venturi, who's a pioneer of postmodern movement. And I think the most striking contradiction is that there are only straight lines, and here there's a curve, but however, the curve is cut by half. So why? Yeah, it's really a contradiction. And the curve is also crossing a slope, kind of a slope. So it's really contradictory. And I think the best example in terms of aesthetics is the Pompidou Centre, which inverted this is in Paris. It inverted the way buildings are built. So instead of hiding all the service infrastructure, the cables for the air conditioning, the tubes, or what's the name? Well, I don't know. The flow of the air conditioning, instead of going underneath inside the building, it's actually going through the outside. And it creates an aesthetic sensation of a factory. But in fact, it's an art center. It's also telling, wow, art is also work.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an interesting discussion the building makes. So what is a contradiction? It's an accumulated tension in society, a struggle of two forces. No force can be eliminated from the struggle. And it's not a problem that can be solved. But it can be overcome. The concept of overcoming means that there is a creation of a third force, and it contains the two existing forces in an configuration. And here is the classic example of a contradiction by René Magritte. This is not a pipe, but it is a pipe. That's what is written down here. This is not a pipe, but it is a pipe because it's an image of a pipe. But it's not a pipe because you cannot pipe. You cannot really...
What is it?
Well, it's an image of a pipe, but it is a pipe. Because I can talk about a pipe. However, I cannot smoke.
Yes.
So, yeah, it's a bit contradictory. You cannot really eliminate and tell what is true. Because both are true and both are false in the same ways. So logics is not the same as dialectics. So technical problems are not contradictions.
We played a game last week about problems and solutions. This was most of the part of the lecture we used to in this exercise.
And basically, you write down all the problems you see in the activity, and then you write down solutions to that those problems. Well, actually not. You write down the solutions of problems that other people wrote for you. So you exchange problems and solutions. And then later on, you pick up the solution of another person, and you write down a problem for that. And then you try to show that it's not easy to solve a problem.
And why is it not easy to solve a problem? Because there are contradictions. And contradictions are always creating problems as well as solutions. So from this point on, this is new, Matheus. So we didn't go through this.
So contradiction is not something abstract.
It's not just an idea, right? Contradiction is out there in the world. And it is very concrete. What do I mean by that? Well, let me ask a question. What is this?
The image of conflict.
Yeah, you are getting better than that. After being live with the other one.
Yeah,
so this is an image of concrete. Well, I could say this is not an image of concrete. This is actually a light rays being emitted by the projector and reflected on this screen and then coming through your eyes. What the fuck? But yeah, it's true. But it's also an image of concrete. And you could even say it is concrete. If you haven't seen before the treachery of images from Henri Magritte, you would say, well, I think this is concrete. Well, this is not concrete. It's an image of concrete. All right. If I'm talking about the image, images are always abstract, and they are like ideas put into pictures, right? But do not mistake that by contradictions. Contradictions, they are not like images, because they affect people, and since they are affecting people, people are feeling contradiction. You can say it's concrete. So social inequality is de facto contradiction, because not only people on this select side in São Paulo feel bad about social inequality, also people on the right side, they also suffer problems of security, they also suffer problems of not being able to go out on the streets and walk freely. Of course, people on the left side suffers much more, but I'm sure that everybody suffers from social inequality. I can tell that because I lived in Netherlands over there. There's less social inequality and there's quality of life in terms of security, in terms of having more flexibility to meet new people from different stratus of society. So it's actually beneficial for everybody. Consumption is also very concrete. There's a lot of production of waste that we don't know what to do about. And I love this documentary Wasteland by Vic Muniz, who is an artist who tried to go into a garbage disposal place in Rio, and he helped people there to create art from trash. It's quite a motivating action for someone who likes to work in this area. And like transforming society through design. I love this example. And the last example is Viviane Deleboni, who's a transsexual girl. And she dressed herself as Jesus Christ and went to the LGBT parade, the Pride parade. And then she was enacting someone who had been victim of violence, as if she was crucified. She was a victim of violence before and after, and especially after this outrageous act. Many people bullied her on the social networks and even on the streets. Good morning. So prejudice is not something like an idea. You have the idea of prejudice. Good morning. But you also have experience of prejudice in your body, in your skin, in your social network, right? So that's what I'm talking about. Contradiction can be fueled by oppression, or oppression is when you feel a contradiction. It's the easiest way to understand, is this a contradiction or not? People are feeling oppressed. If they are feeling oppressed, then yeah, it's probably a contradiction. If they are not feeling oppressed, then it's not a contradiction. For example, if I have, I press a button here and I'm mistaken because the interface is not well designed, and then I press the wrong button and then the projector should switch off. Am I being oppressed? What do you guys think? Do I feel oppression by pressing the wrong button? Is this a contradiction in other ways to ask? Can be, or maybe not. It depends on how do I feel. Should ask me, right? So what do you feel? Are you feeling oppressed? No, it's just a mistake. All right, the designer badly designed this thing. Or maybe I say, no, I am wrong. I'm always stupid. I'm always pressing this button wrong in any device I use. And yeah, because I don't know anything about computers and internet, please do it for me. What do you think, guys, now? Am I being oppressed? I would say yes. And probably I'm not aware that I'm even oppressed. But I'm being oppressed by all the technological devices, and especially by the people that are behind those technologies. So when people design technologies in a way that a lot of people are being excluded from using those things, yeah, I think there is oppression over there, and there is a contradiction. Because since technology is probably designed with the intention of being useful for people and liberating them from things that they would not be able to do on their own. For example, I could build a projector myself. I could, invent a way of putting all this data here. But this technology is making it easy for me to do that. However, the interface itself, which is just the tip of the iceberg of this technology, is designed in such a way that I'm not able to use this technology. So this is definitely a contradiction. It was supposed to be useful, but it's not. Alright? So if you feel like there's an oppression, it's like a hint to find a contradiction.
This film is very good.
Yeah. Did you watch... Who watched this movie? Under the Skin... The Skin I Live In. It's really nice. And it's all about the oppression of sexual harassment, but it goes a little bit further than that. So it's really, really an explicit example of how do you feel oppression in your skin. even if you don't know there is oppression, it's there. So that's why it's concrete. And the concept of understanding the contradiction is insufficient to understand it fully. Right? If you say, alright, there is social inequality in the world, and you can read books about it, you can talk in the classroom like we are doing now, but you will not completely fully understand what is social inequality unless you really are a victim of it. And that's a burden that designers will always have, because they will have to serve and work for people that have different experience of us. And the best you can do is try to put yourself into someone else's shoes and try to act or be part of an activity in which people are being oppressed, and then from that you might realize things that nobody else have realized before. That's the advantage, one of the biggest advantages of expansive design thinking. Because since you include those people that are typically excluded from the project, you can generate insights and opportunities that nobody else would generate, because simply these people are excluded. But they are a source of innovation, source of ideas, and sometimes source of resources and consumption opportunities. They would like to buy off of not being oppressed any longer. All right? So, let's do it. Let's use a method or technique, let's say, that is derived from theater of the oppressed tradition. Theater of the oppressed was created by Augusto Boal. I may write on the board, because his name is very famous. He's considered one of the best, dramaturgos. Best dramaturgos of the century, the last century in Brazil. He was during a little bit before the dictatorship, he was realizing that theater was something that only helped elites in the society to express themselves and to transfer their culture values. And then he thought, why not doing theater on favelas? Why not doing theater with the oppressed people? Then he creates an idea of using theater as a way for these people to have a voice. So people are oppressed. Then let's bring the oppression into the theater, and then let's represent something which is more related to their everyday activities, to their lives. And he also realized that this theater should not be just a presentation, an exhibition, but also an interactive style in which this, the audience itself can be part of the play by interacting with the actors and also replacing the actors. So this was a major breakthrough innovation in theater in the 60s. And theater of the oppressed is really hugely known around the world. There are thousands and thousands of people practicing it. In Brazil, it's less known, as always, right? We don't value so much our own innovations. And that's why I choose to use this before we go through the triangle thing. Remember the activity theory stuff? It's more abstract, I would say, than this. This is more concrete. So let's start from concrete to go to the abstract first. Right? So, there are many different techniques in theater of the oppressed. I just selected one, which is very easy. You just need to build an image of an oppression using the bodies of your fellow colleagues. So use the body as if it was a kind of a, made out of clay, and then you have to make the image and take a picture. That's all you need to do, right? Of course, we can do more with that later on, but for now on, you just have to choose one of get your activity. Recall your activity that you studied through the ethnographic research assignment. Then look for try to remind what was an oppression that people were feeling in that activity, and then you create the image to show this oppression. Matheus already had experience of using this technique, right? So you have to show, maybe there are multiple oppressions. Try to select the one which is more dramatic so you can express it easier. And the image itself should be enough to understand what is oppression about. So if you look at the picture on the right side, if I tell you that this is an image about education, how do you read that image? Well, the teacher is her, and this is the student.
He can't say anything.
Yeah, exactly. The student cannot say anything, he has just to listen and accept what the teacher is saying.
Also, the teacher is taller than the student, right? And he has some rules.
Do we have rules with tablados?
Yes.
Right. Yeah, we do have on the next floor, right? Upper floor. Yeah. Yeah, this is terrible, because it really creates a distance with the students, and it reproduces the contradiction that exists in society, current society, in which some people teach and some people learn, and they do not exchange those roles. And in the past, it used to be the case that you would not go to the school, you would just go to a workshop, and you would learn by doing something with another person who's more experienced, and sometimes you would bring new things and you would teach your master to do it better, right? But it's not possible in the current school systems, and this is a contradiction, because you learn, all teachers know, you learn better by teaching. alright, but I don't want to go further in this fragment, this project, because you have to pick your own. Each of you guys have one activity to represent. You can use the body of your colleagues, so you have to choose who is going to go first. If you have an idea to start, if you already have an idea to start, yeah, please use your fellow colleagues. Then I think you have to organize yourselves into first one, then second and third, all right? So you make the image, take a picture, and you're going to post this on Eureka. All right? And these are the features, well, actually not features, but the devices you can use to characterize your characters, or either to overcome any shyness. I don't know. If you're shy, the best way to represent is to put yourself on a mask. All right. So let's do it, guys. You have to warm up. Start moving.